So what do you think, and I want both of you, Bob, to answer this. So what do you think the rewards that MacArthur's going to get from spearheading this stuff? Why would he abdicate in such a way?
I mean, somebody need to talk to me. What's in it for him?
Well, I actually believe, because I've looked into John MacArthur's spiritual lineage, and it leads at the highest level of the ecumenical movement with his father, who was in Henrietta Mears' inner circle. And so John MacArthur...
Who is Henrietta Mears? Our listeners don't know.
She's the one that tapped Billy Graham as the next great preacher.
That's right. That's right. She was spearheaded...
Up there in Forest Home.
That's right. That's right. She spearheaded the whole ecumenical movement.
Yes. Fuller Seminary, all of that.
Yes. I'm going to get into that later if we have time.
Yeah, well... Yeah.
And I fully believe... This is a personal opinion.
You can give it here.
But my personal opinion, when I looked at there's a book of Henrietta Mears' life, it's very interesting that every picture of her is with her personal traveling secretary.
Was it a woman or a man?
It was a woman.
Uh-oh, Henrietta.
Henrietta was never married, and she traveled, and they have the two of them sitting on a horse together. And so I fully believe that she was lesbian.
Now that's Bob
my opinion. That's my personal opinion. She's dead, so she can't sue me. But that's my personal opinion, and I think if you look at her book and look at all those pictures, I think you would probably draw the same conclusion on African safaris together and all kinds of interesting places. Now, that aside, have you completed your answer as far as what you think MacArthur will get out of it?
Well, I just think he's on board with this whole agenda.
Why? Why would he be on board since he could be one of the greatest evangelical pastors?
Since he could be one of the greatest evangelical pastors in the history of the modern world. Because a lot of people say, man, look at the books. PJ, you got them in your study. Look at all the conferences. Look at the Shepherd's Conference every year. Thousands of men coming from all over the world paying homage to this great mind. What? Well, come on.
Talk to me, guys. I mean, I'm a black guy.
I'll give you my answer.
I ain't feeling it.
I'll give you my answer because you're asking why would he sell out? What could he possibly gain to sell out?
Yes.
Number one, he didn't sell out. Okay, because he, based on his testimony, he never was a Christian. So he wasn't a Christian who sold out and turned on it because he never became one in the first place.
Now you hit it.
Now, then, what he found, and it's like you said, through his spiritual lineage and his father, is he a third generation pastor?
Oh, yeah.
Fifth generation pastor. Yeah. So this is a five generation that he's seen some men in his family that made a pretty good living doing what they're doing.
Hey.
And he's managed to do it a little better than all of them because he's got his big seminary, he's got his big salary, he's got his big church, he's on national TV all the time on Larry King Live and all of this other stuff. He's got his ego is being fed, he's being worshipped by the mobs, he's got the money rolling in. Every single time broadcast ends with him selling some sort of resource, and you personally saw him get out of his limousine with his armed guards or into his limousine with his armed guards at the airport.
Yes.
He's got a pretty good life, and when one has the spiritual perspective of this is all there is and the rest of it's all a joke, you get while the getting's good and you enjoy your life here and now.
Just like Joel Osteen said. Oh.
Your best life now. He's living his best life now.
Oh, okay.
That's my take.
All right. Bob, continue to give us more on these visions and core group stuff that you have in front of you.
Okay. The other purpose-driven ministry at Grace Church was called The Foundry. It was a singles ministry, and it was run by a man named Kurt Gebhards. This ministry also contained the structure and language of the purpose-driven model. This ministry was divided into many core groups and ministry teams. On the Foundry website is a page titled Core Group, which gives a definition of the core group. It states, core groups are gender-specific groups of 4 to 10, designed to provide all members of the Foundry with an opportunity to build deep and abiding relationships. That means relationships among each other. Let me provide examples of some of the language of the change process, purpose-driven church, at the Foundry. Every team in the Foundry had a purpose. The Foundry website stated that there are 19 ministry teams that are divided into four ministry groups. For example, the integration team, quote, purposes to be an instrument used to encourage and facilitate active involvement from every member of the Foundry by planting them in core groups and ministry teams. We work together with a visitor team to welcome new visitors and pursue their involvement within the Foundry. This is the same language as Rick Warren's purpose-driven model. This is where the pastor will plant you in ministry, tell you where you will serve, and tell you how you will serve. The integration team went on to say, quote, team member responsibilities included pursuing relationships and encouraging involvement. It is also expected that every member of the integration team would be an active and faithful participant in a core group. This is exactly what is required of members of Saddleback Church.
Let me interrupt and say, you know, thus far in your, no Bible, man, no Bible. He isn't going through the book of James. These people aren't being meant relationships. What about the relationship with Jesus Christ? No wonder John is saying, I don't know when I've ever heard from Christ. If he hasn't heard from Christ, he has to build a ministry where the people don't have one with Christ. But he's using the Bible. Oh, I shouldn't have interrupted you. Go ahead.
At Saddleback, all members are required to sign a covenant agreeing to participate in a small group or a core group.
Why you gotta sign it? What's this?
That's all about control.
Control?
Yes, because if you start to cross the group leader or cross anybody, they're going to say that you are acting in an un-Christian fashion or you're a liar because you signed the contract and now you're breaking the contract as far as they're concerned. We're not supposed to be signing contracts and covenants.
Sign anything in no church, man. Mm-mm. Oh, I'm sorry, Bob. Go ahead. I'll do that.
The Killer V's, no problem. The Killer V's, no visitors team, new visitors team, quote, exists for the purpose of serving new visitors. This includes meeting and greeting. Greeters, as I said, are at Saddleback Church and the PDCs. Meters and greeters
and Walmart.
And Walmart. Meters and greeters are part of the seeker-friendly church growth movement. The Killer V's go on to say, quote, at its core, we are a care team. What is a care team? In some church growth organizations, a care team is an acronym that stands for, quote, create a relational environment. In Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Church, care ministries are described. Quote, mission of care groups to connect and grow people in Christ through, through relational environments. The Killer V's then state, quote, we want to meet the needs of all visitors, provide them with information, and ultimately get them involved in core groups and ministry teams. This is the language of Rick Warren's purpose-driven church.
Right. Yeah, again, and I apologize for interrupting.
No problem.
Everything's under the umbrella of relationship. Relationship right. with man and humankind has taken the place of God. We will teach you the gospel within the framework of relationship. We will do this within the framework of relationship. You can't step outside of the framework of relationship. And so somebody like you, Bob, who goes there and then
right.
starts to expose the truth for what it is and tries to warn people,
right.
you need to be removed because you are breaking the environment of relationship. You are contrary to relationship. You're crossing their God because that's their God. And you are attacking their God by breaking, threatening to break up the relationship. And so that's the key, is that that has become their God, is human relationship. What is that? That's humanism. That's yes. the new world. That's
yes.
that's everybody getting along. We're gonna have nirvana here on earth. Everybody's gonna get along and go along, and we're gonna create heaven on earth. And we don't need God. That's what all of this is.
Wow.
And I think, you know, just to explain a little bit, our skepticism when we were first presented with this information right. is Pastor John and myself originally believed that MacArthur was Christian. Right. We honestly believed Absolutely. He did. Fully. And we thought it was possible that he had gotten such a large organization that he was unaware of these smaller things creeping in.
Yes.
And that's what we had to come to over a period of time to be come to the realization that, A, he's not a Christian based on his testimony. There's no question that he
right.
doesn't talk of a born-again experience or his sinful life beforehand or his repentance. So none of that is present, and so that is obvious questions his Christianity, number one. And number two, as we see the magnitude and the infiltration here, it's not one group that one guy snuck in and started putting some church growth stuff
That's
in.
That's a very good point.
And then as soon as it became evident, the church leaders kicked it out of their church.
Right.
No, it has spread and it's permeated every aspect of their ministry,
right.
making it very clear to us that there's no way that MacArthur cannot know about it and be a part of it.
And that's right.
Right. And you guys got to know that out there, and no one else is speaking about this. No one would dare speak about this. The graduates from that place will not speak about this. They have to know it because they're instituting the same thing in their churches. They're satellite churches of a larger organism.
Right.
That's what that is. And the way that you resolve this, listen, because I know some of you people are tripping out there. This is how you resolve it. Ask the pastor of that Grace Community Church satellite church, have they ever met Jesus Christ personally, and what does Christ mean to them? And then tell them that their mentor has not. And then ask them to justify continuing that relationship mm-hmm. over the facts of the truth of Scripture, yeah. because that's what this is all about. Bob Johnson is reading all these things, and you all loved it when we were talking about Rick Warren and Dick Hybels. Oh, you were loving it when we were crashing in on them, but now we've speaking about the holy cow now.
Mm-hmm.
And see, no, don't talk about MacArthur. It is my idea that anything that large and that huge, mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit has no room in there. There's too much of self, and there's too much for relationships. We could have given you a ton of scriptures that tells you to crucify the flesh. It's not about relationships. It's about your obedience to God and God alone. Now, let me give a good example, because Mark Ramsey, we were talking about it last night in the Bible study. We were in Joshua chapter 5 and Joshua chapter 6. And God gave instructions to Joshua when they were right before they took Jericho by marching around the city. Some very unique instructions was that God told Joshua to tell the people to just carry the trumpets and have the priests blow it when you tell them to blow it. And then he told the people, all of you shut up. See, God is a didactic God. He's saying, you people have nothing to say to anybody. Once you look at the battle scheme, it seemed like a foolish thing that God did. The Jerichoites were up on the wall laughing at the Israelites mm-hmm. as they marched around the city those 7 days. They were having a party on the wall. The whole city went there. And God told them not one man was to speak and to say a word. It's not about relationships. It's about listening solely to God and following exactly what God tells you to do. The church has left that, and they've placed relationships at the helm. Go ahead, Bob. I'm taking up your time.
Another ministry in the Foundry, which was, I was going to say earlier, violating James 3:1, is called the Leadership Group. A team within this group is called LIT. Quote, LIT purposes to develop leaders who will influence the body of Christ by reproducing themselves. Although this purpose is not given in God's word, it is from the Total Quality Management purpose-driven church model. In Total Quality Management, a leader change agent is to recruit others into the dialectic process and then transform them
right.
so that they are now leader change agents bringing mm-hmm. others into the process and thus, quote, reproducing themselves, end quote.
Alienism, that's all that is.
And again, it's the unlearned and, you know, I mean, brand new believers, or not even believers, but brand new converts to this system, are immediately ascended into leadership.
Right. Right. They make the best leaders because they're robots.
Right.
That's all that is.
Yeah, useful idiots.
Yes.
The term leadership is used quite often in the church growth movement, as it is in the world. In the church growth movement, the term leader refers to being a change agent who leads others to change or transformation. Let me provide more examples of the transformational language of the church growth movement within the Foundry. Local Outreach stated, "Our vision is to make radical followers of Jesus Christ." Radical followers is new paradigm language. Mm-hmm. The Global Outreach team, quote, "purposes that sinners everywhere may come to radically transforming, saving faith in Jesus Christ." In the purpose-driven model, radically transforming is language that refers to the effects of the dialectic process and does not refer to the transforming power of God's Word and God's Spirit. The graphics team at the Foundry, quote, "never allows a design to go out until it has a majority consensus within the team. The synthesis phase of the dialectic process is when consensus is reached in the group. In total quality management and the dialectic process, truth is arrived at via consensus, what all in the group can agree upon and feel good about." The Logos team, quote, "purposes to serve Grace Church by facilitating and growing the capacity of the Logos Bible Institute." The service team said, quote, "we need people on this team who are self-starters. To get this team functioning to its full capacity, we need people who will head it up, who will head up different ministries and run with it." So where is God and his sovereignty here in these ministries?
Nowhere. He's nowhere.
Nowhere.
That sounds like Microsoft Word. That's what that sounds like.
The Foundry also had teams with psychosocial names, like its, quote, core builder team. One particular core group at the Foundry, the only one that provided a description of itself, stated, quote, "what is core group about? Core group is about God, people, and relationships." The description went on to say, quote, "our core group is about flexibility and meeting one another's needs. Our preliminary list of core group activities includes small things every day, like eating at fun and good restaurants, playing tennis or golf, to bigger things, like going to Dodger games. Ooh. Core group should be profitable and enjoyable."
Hold that point. Golf, Bob. Don't forget it, Bob.
Oh, I know.
Right after the Masters Shepherds Conference, John MacArthur had a special deal.
$2,500.
$2,500. You could play golf
with him,
Pastor MacArthur, and he only wanted a special core group of men. Oh, man, this is ridiculous. And people, I'm not lying. I had the flyers. I got disgusted and threw it out because he said, "I can't take all of you, but each of you then would give me $2,500. You can have golf with me, and then I have a Bible study with you as a core group leader. It's all in the church."
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
One Friday night, I attended a Bible study at the Foundry called 310. After about a half hour of refreshments and socializing, we sat down for announcements, and the new visitors were introduced. I was asked to stand, and with Bible in hand, the leader proceeded to ask me several, quote, icebreaker questions. In a group of about 35 people, I was asked the following, quote, "how did you find out about us? Where do you live? Do you know any good restaurants? What do you do for a living?
What?
When is your birthday?
What?
And can you tell us about a particularly memorable birthday you've had?" I was asked to stand and answer these questions.
Yeah, all right.
There were four visitors that evening who were asked to stand and submit to these icebreakers. After the icebreakers ended, we took a break so that the people in the group could meet and greet the new visitors. By the way, I was told by the Foundry leader that these questions were icebreakers. He used that term.
Mm-hmm.
Later, when I asked the same pastor leader if he believed Rick Warren was a Christian, he responded, "I have no idea." Why don't all John MacArthur's pastors know that Rick Warren is not a Christian?
Hmm.
Wow. Icebreaker exercises facilitate the dialectic process and are used in the purpose-driven church model. Mm-hmm. The change agent, through these exercises, is attempting to unfreeze the group members from their traditional position mm-hmm. so that they can be moved and refrozen into a compromised state. It shouldn't be surprising that icebreakers are used at Grace Church because John MacArthur has advocated their use. He advocated their use in a book called Saved Without a Doubt. And this applies to the foundry. In manufacturing, a foundry is a factory where metal is melted and poured into molds. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In the mm-hmm. foundry at Grace mm-hmm. Church, Christians yeah. are melted, unfrozen, mm-hmm. And recast, and refrozen into a new mold.
Yep.
And then finally, in the 2 hours I spent at the foundry Bible study, the Bible was preached for about 20 minutes. In the 4 hours I spent at the Guild and Foundry Bible studies, the Bible was preached for about 45 minutes. Most of the time was spent in socializing and relationship building. Conformity to the new paradigm is attained through consensus building as opposed to Bible study.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know some of you probably thinking about turning us off. We've been talking for an hour and 7 minutes. And I want Bob to address, are you going to address this situation here?
Yes, I'm coming up on that right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, all right. Because
before you do that, let me give you your email address again.
Oh, okay. Thanks,
it's
Mark.
User8521@sbcglobal.net. User8521@sbcglobal.net.
Because
if you want to also send something to Pastor John
yep.
about this program, into the word one@ca.rr.com. Into the word one@ca.rr.com.
And Bob is going to take us into this next portion here, which takes it takes you into much deeper, because this thing is so deep. The various individuals that MacArthur has working within his group and within his church, and all of this is on the website. Bob, do you know offhand where they can go and get this on your website?
Go ahead. Yes. You can read the Grace Church expose on a website called Watch Unto Prayer. The address is www.watch.pair.com, and it's right there on the front page. It's called The Transformation of John MacArthur's Grace Community Church, How Change Agents Are Transitioning Grace Church into the New World Order.
That's wonderful, because, see, you people need to go and read all this stuff for yourself. And Bob's not lying. All this stuff is true. Bob Klink and I have experienced some of these things when we've gone around those churches. You can see the same experience in all mega churches. As a matter of fact, that pastor that called me the other night and asked me to go and have a sexual fling, and I'd get my mind back.